The reason you bog things down and you don't get them from God, or it takes you 14 years to get some, is because that you don't have any joy in the answer. You understand that? See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You have no joy in the answer. Well, I'll have joy in the answer when I get it. No, well, that's fine. That's wonderful. God likes for you to thank him for it, but you need to have joy. You need to believe that you receive when you pray. Yes. If you believe you receive something, then you're joyful, right? Just shout. Well, shout before you ever get the manifestation comes. You're going to have to get joy in your answer. You could bog things down. You know, one of my best customers in the world for my tapes is Gloria Copeland. She used to buy my tapes a lot, and Ken told me one day, he says, Norval, I was listening to you. He says, I was believing God for a plane. Ken's usually always believing God for a plane. He likes planes. And he said, I was believing God, and he says, you know, it's thousands and thousands of dollars. He says, it wasn't coming in very fast, just a little bit. Not very fast. He said, man, it'll take me years to get it this way, you know. About 6-8 months goes by and very little come in, a little bit, you know. A few thousand, not very much for a plane. He said, one morning we were getting dressed, you know, getting ready, and Gloria had your tapes on, playing them on the tape recorder. And he said, you started explaining that. He said, I was standing in front of the mirror getting ready, you know, and he said, the Holy Ghost jumped in me. Jumped in me. He said, he jumped inside of me. When you said something, he jumped inside of me and said to me, you better listen to him, because that's what's bogging your plane down. He said, he jumped and said, Gloria, turn that thing back. He said, roll that tape back. He said, then you started explaining about believing that you receive when you pray, but you don't believe that you receive when you pray. You don't believe you receive unless you act like you got it and talk like you've got it before you ever get it. Act like you've got it and talk like you've got it before you ever get it with joy. You understand that? Now, because it takes so long the other way. You can finally wear the devil out and get a little trinkle here and a trinkle there and a trinkle here and a trinkle there. Yeah. But if you will please the Lord along that line, I'm telling you that God can rearrange things. You say, well, how in the world would I ever get that? Listen to me. As long as you ever try to figure that out, you will never get it. Because God's not going to explain his ways to you and how he does things. He just does them, that's all. They just show up. I'm telling you, they just show up. But you can't figure out how God's going to do that. But he'll rearrange things. Blessed be the name of Jesus forever. If the Lord will allow me to do it tomorrow night, I'll get further into that tomorrow night. And explain to you how a guy approached me one time and he was broke. He had no money. I mean, he was under the barrel, man. He said, can you help me, Norval? I said, oh, yeah, I can help you. You said that right. I can make you rich if you listen to me. He says, but I'm in debt. He says, I don't have no money. I said, that's a good place to start. When you don't have no money, that's a good place to start believing God for finances. You understand? Because you need it. If you're broken in debt, then you need finances real bad. And it's just as easy to get as anything else. But if you get too churchy on God and too religious and too and too holy on God, and you don't believe that God's interested in every part of your life, then you'll stay real spiritual. Well, I'm spiritual. I don't want to get involved in money or business or my job or anything like that. I mean, I get along, so I just want to stay spiritual. Sure. But listen to me. Honey, I got news for you. The promises in the Bible is what's spiritual, not you. Do you understand that? The Bible is spiritual, not what you think about it. The promises in the Bible, that's what's spiritual. And you've inherited it because of the price that Jesus paid. Inherited what? Anything that you can find in here. It's yours. You've inherited, not somebody else, you. The Bible was written just for you. All of it belongs to you. And you have to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for that. He's paid the price for you to live in it, to live and have your being an abundant life. And have joy and strength all the time. Now sometimes you and me get a little bit weak in our believing, a little bit weak in our confession. We let the devil open the door for the devil to come in and attack us. But God don't even believe in sickness. God thinks we're stupid if we put up with it. No, I should have said that. He don't think we are. He knows we are. That time he took me to heaven, I'm telling you, he thought I was stupid because my daughter had a growth on her body. She had 42 growths on her. That girl standing out there. Wanted to make, cast the devil out of that girl last night, that same one. She had 42 growths on her for 5 years, and I prayed a good full gospel, Pentecostal, full gospel type healing prayer for 5 years. And the longer I prayed, the bigger they got. The longer I prayed, the more messed up she got. And finally, I just started seeking Jesus in the Bible. Kenneth Hagin Sr. was the cause of it. He came to my house. Of course, he's the cause of a lot of things. You know what he did? You know what he told me? You know what he told Zona? He said, "Oh, Zona." He said, "I can curse those things and they'll die and disappear." And I went to myself, la ti da ti ta 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 ta. I mean, I'm full gospel. I love the Lord. I think I believe the Bible. Of course, everybody thinks they do. I pray for this. I watch Jesus heal people. I know about healing. There's a difference in knowing about it and getting involved with it. And he says, "Oh." He acted like they were nothing. I've been praying for 5 years, praying until my teeth got loose. You can pray until your teeth falls out. Nothing don't happen. Then I began to seek God with all my might. In my living room on the back of, laying flat on my back, seeking Jesus the healer in the Bible. I told him, I said, "I'm seeking you, Jesus. I'm seeking the miracle worker in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." I said, "I got sense enough to know, Lord." I said, I can read. You moved all the stuff off of the man with the leprosy and put new skin up on him and gave him a new miracle. New skin come all over him when you touched him. I said, "That's the kind of Jesus I'm seeking. I'm not seeking a Baptist Jesus or somebody else's Jesus. I'm seeking this Jesus right in here. The one in the Mark that did that." I said, "I'm seeking you. I have a daughter of God that needs that same miracle. I have a daughter that needs that same miracle in her body, and that's the one I'm seeking." Hey, find somebody in the Bible that's got the same kind of disease or affliction that you've got, and then watch what Jesus did to that person, and then seek that Jesus. See, your version of Jesus may be a little warped, and your friends may be warped, more warped than that. Find somebody in the Bible that Jesus healed that's got close to the same case you have and begin to seek that kind of Jesus. Because see, you and me are living in a faith world. These people in the Bible could go to him and follow him on top of the mountain and he'd heal them. But you and me can't do that. It's all by faith. So just seek him by faith. When you don't feel nothing, see nothing, just seek him anyway, because the Bible says, and remind him what he said in the Bible, and just seek that kind of Jesus. Seek him. I told God, I said, Jesus, I'm seeking you, the kind of Jesus in the book of Mark that removed all the leprosy off the man. The book of Mark, when you touched him, it disappeared and new skin come upon him. Jesus, the book of Mark, Jesus, the leprosy moving Jesus, I'm seeking you. Jesus, Jesus, the book of Mark, Jesus, the leper removing Jesus. I'd land on my living room floor and flat on my back. But I get sick and tired, people, everybody else knowing things, Brother Hagin, everybody knowing things, and I don't know nothing. And find out from God for myself. Brother, you learn something from God. You're not listening to Oral Roberts. Now, Oral Roberts is a good teacher, Brother Hagin's a good teacher, but you find something out from heaven yourself. And always remember this: you don't never have to ask nobody, because you got it from heaven yourself. Glory to God forever. And I did that for about 2 weeks. Book of Mark, Jesus, leper removing Jesus, Jesus, I need you to come to my house and make my daughter new. I won't accept this. I'm not receiving these gross. I curse him, I bind him in Jesus' name. And I kept on and on and on. And after about 2-3 weeks of that, now boy, you talk about a manifestation. See, if you'll seek the Lord like that, see, the Bible says, though that those that diligently seek God, they shall find God. You know why you're not healed? You haven't found God yet. What do you mean I haven't found God yet? I love the Lord. I'm born again. No, I'm not talking about finding that way. I'm talking about finding him as healer. I'm not talking about finding him as life giver. You find Jesus as life giver when you repent of your sins and ask him to come into your heart and you get born again. You find the Lord Jesus Christ as life giver. Then he'll give you life forever. I'm talking about finding Jesus, the healer. Jesus, the miracle worker. Listen to me. Jesus, the van giver. Stay spiritual. Stay spiritual. Now, you know God's not interested in vans. Cars and houses and stuff like that, you know. Just stay spiritual. God's interested in anything you need. And since you and me are too stupid to get it, he'll get it for us. Well, you don't know how to get it. If you had, you'd already have it. You understand that? I don't know how to get a bus, but God does. Do you think if you think they'll keep thanking God for it, will they get a bus? Oh yeah, they'll get the bus. I mean, I don't know when they'll get it, you know. God has his own timing, but they'll get a bus if they keep thanking God for it. I can tell you that right now. They'll get a bus. You just keep on and on and on, on and on and on. If I had time, I could go through the Bible and show you, if you'll keep bugging God, he'll hear you. Well, that's the truth. I know that's kind of a flimsy teenage way of putting it, but it's the truth. If you keep bugging God, he'll hear you. Well, the Bible says that those that diligently seek God, they shall find God. And because my daughter, sitting right there now, she came down here, had those growths in her body, and because I sought the Lord, I sought God, the leper remover. I wanted the miracle working God. And when I began to seek him, I couldn't believe it, people. I couldn't believe this happened to me. And I could see why I did, because I would not let go of him. I would not let go of him. I just kept on seeking him. Now, I don't know if you'll have an experience like this or not, but it'll be something similar to this, or he'll just show up one. The reason God had to manifest himself to me first and not my daughter and heal me because... Are you ready for this? No, I don't imagine you are. You said, well, you're seeking Jesus, the healer, the miracle worker, Norval. Why didn't he just go ahead and heal your daughter and give her a miracle right then? After you sought him for a while and God saw that you were sincere, why didn't God just go ahead and do it? Well, in families and houses and things like that, you know, God has his own ways, and you have to go God's way. And God deals through the head of the house. God deals through the head of the house. Head of the house. And he told me he had some things he wanted me to, he wanted to talk to me about first, that he wanted to teach me. He had some things he wanted to tell me. He did? Why did he tell you, Norval? He told me I was stupid. Oh, really? Well, he didn't use the word stupid, but he might as well use the word stupid. He asked me a question. He said, how'd I ask you a question? Well, he asked me a question in heaven. In heaven, was you there? Yeah, somewhere there. I don't know what part. I was there. About 2 weeks after seeking God like that, I was doing like this. One Sunday night, like this, walking through my living room. And all of a sudden, there I was standing in paradise. There I was, just standing in paradise, just standing there. Standing in another world that was holy and clean. That time I didn't get to see nothing. God didn't bring me there to show me anything. He brought me there to talk to me. Did you see God? No, I didn't see God. But I was standing there in another world. And I knew it was paradise. I knew it was heaven. I was so scared. I don't mean scared. I was like a holy scared. Everything there was so holy and clean, honest and pure and everything, as I was afraid. And all of a sudden, I heard a male voice. A strong male voice. And all of my five senses had disappeared from me, and I was the real me. I was there. And the male voice said to me, how long are you going to put up with those growths on your daughter's body? Wasn't fast. Sounded just about like that. He said, how long are you going to put up with those growths on your daughter's body? Well, I don't even know what he's talking about. I told him I didn't either. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, Lord, I've been praying for 5 years that you'd, long time, Lord, that you'd remove them from her. I don't know what you mean. How long am I going to put up with them? I don't have them, Lord. I said, they're not on me, they're on my daughter. I don't have them. Well, to show you how little I knew about the Bible, and I thought I knew a lot, he said, that same voice said, quickly, answer me quickly this time, and kind of sharp. And I knew he was upset. He said, you're the head of your house. And I could see it. Everything that happened at my house, on my property, was my fault. You men better learn that. You better take responsibility of it. But y'all won't be able, you men will never be strong enough and never be spiritual enough and never know the inside of heaven enough to ever keep the devil off of your children, your family, or your property unless you learn the benefits of the prayer life. Listen to what Jesus has said to you as the head of your house and learn to bind up devils in Jesus' name. Resist them. Throw them off of your property. Now, when my daughter backslid on drugs, still on drugs for 3 years, I walked the floor. I walked the floor for 3 years. She didn't go to church with me for 3 years, binding devils. This was several years. No, it wasn't several years. It was like, let's see, when she got her miracle, she was in high school. And this is, when she got on drugs, was about 1 year after she married Bobby. That right, so about 1 year after you married Bobby, she got on drugs. Got on drugs for 3 years. Well, I'd already seen her get the miracle from God for her body by that time. And I knew if I sought God, how to seek God to get that miracle for her. So I just figured, well, I'll just seek God now. Now she's on drugs and she won't go to church with me and she's backslid and running with a gang. So now then I just seek God. I just stand in the gap for her and I just won't give up. I just refuse to give up. And of course, if you've heard my tapes very much, you ought to know. At the end of 3 years of seeking God and standing in the gap for her, nobody could win her to God. I couldn't win her. I couldn't even make the devils leave her. Because she was married then and grown, and you can have all the devils you want. If you want devils, ain't nobody can make them leave. So if you make them leave, they'll come right back if you want them. You have to get tired of what the devil's doing to you yourself and resist the devil yourself. It's all right for somebody to resist the devil for you, but you're free. Now you see, the little girl came down last night, and I saw like a spirit of death on her when she came down. Now that same girl, see, that I'm talking about, you see her last night on the floor there? Taking authority over that devil for that girl because they're trying to kill her. Now this morning, this last night the girl was sitting back there in the back. Now this morning, see, I noticed my daughter walked in with the little girl. They sat on the front. There she is on the front this morning. That same girl last night was screaming over on the floor. She's sitting here this morning with a note and a pen in her hand and the Bible open. And as long as you live, honey, as long as you sit on the front with your Bible open and a pad and a pen, learning about Jesus, and when temptation comes, resist the devil, you can stay free. But last night when you were walking down here, the Lord showed me the devil was trying to kill you, honey. The devil's trying to kill you. So don't mess around with him no more. Just resist and resist the devil and just stay close to God. Resist the devil. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Blessed be God forever. I know I brought Lester Summerall to my house and Kenneth Hagin to my house and different people to my house when she was on drugs and she couldn't get off. They prayed for her, but she didn't get off of it. I just kept on standing the gap for praying. I just stand the gap boldly. I wouldn't give up. She had one of her little friends in her gang to die overdosing on drugs. I says, well, now you'd miss something. Here's a young person in my own daughter's gang right here in town that's overdosed on drugs and dying. I just kept on standing the gap. A few months later, another one overdosed on drugs and died. I just kept on standing the gap. A few months later, another one overdosed on drugs and died. All kinds of stuff, you know. A few months later, one of her friends in the same gang's car caught on fire. He was on drugs and couldn't get out or something, you know, and he died. A real, you know, a nice young fellow that I used to go buy stuff from all the time on the Esquire shop, a men's shop in town. I'd go buy some of my clothes from him. He had real good quality clothes. He had the Esquire men's shop. Wasn't very long until she told me that he died. I said, "What do you mean he died?" "Well, he overdosed on drugs, Daddy." Well, there was five of them at that time. There's been two since then, been out of that gang, seven of them. One boy since then, who was a 25-year-old boy, was the son of a Pentecostal preacher. He's a pastor of a large Pentecostal church in Cleveland, Tennessee. He died overdosing on drugs at the age of 25. Some of you would know him if I mention him to you, or you know, probably know his daddy. He used to be the international youth minister for a certain denomination, the Pentecostal denomination. They got about 5,000 churches. He overdosed on drugs and died. In fact, I saw that same preacher and his wife in a supermarket here a while back. That happened like 15 years ago, Zona. Probably 15 years ago. And I saw that boy's dad and mother in a supermarket here a while back. Zona was there, was with me in a supermarket. And this fellow came up to me, and he's a pastor of a large, pretty large Pentecostal church. And when I first went to Cleveland, Tennessee, you know, and God had me to start a work there. When you go into a Pentecostal town, say Cleveland, Tennessee, they, you know, old-line Pentecostal people calls it Little Jerusalem. Well, they have five international Pentecostal headquarters there. Five. And some of them has 4,000 or 5,000 churches each, you know. So they have a lot of big conventions there. One of them has a convention there. They bring in 25,000 people in town. And so I'd met a lot of people, you know. He came up, they thought when I first went to town, they thought I was a cult. You know, when you're independent, you know, and you have a sign out in front of your place saying, "Demonology Seminar." That even one of their friends, "Oh, don't tell me that's a cult. Oh my God, it's a cult." Oh yeah, they would. He walked up to me in a supermarket the other day and says, "Brother Norville, I just want to tell you that I really believe in you and I really believe in your work. I've watched you now for years. That Bible college you've got," he says, "you know, I believe you got some of the sweetest students I've ever met in my life." He said, "The students you have in that school really impress me." He said, "I just want to tell you that I believe in what you're doing." And I said, "Well, thank you very much." And I was talking to him there. And they walked off real slow. Sad looking, kindly old looking, sad looking, pushing a buggy. Zona came up to me and she said, she's off down one of the aisles, you know, at the counter picking up something or something, you know. She came up to me and says, "Daddy, who was that you're talking to? Who's that couple you were talking to?" I said, "You remember that 25-year-old boy that was in your gang that overdosed on drugs and died at 25? She said, yeah. I said, that's his daddy and mother. And I made her look at him. I said, Zona, look at him. They look so old and sad and lonely. I said, that had not been for Jesus, Zona, that could be me. I said, because you're the only child I've got. I said, that could be me. He said, well, how come their child overdosed on drugs and died and yours didn't? Didn't they know, love God as much as you did and know God as much as you did? They probably knew God better than I did. But I had learned from God himself with his healing experience I went through with when he took me to heaven. I learned from him, from God, I learned that when devils come on my property and start doing damage, it's my fault because I didn't pray enough and take authority enough and command them to leave. You can't afford to leave devils alone, people. You can't afford in this world to be just a Christian and going to church and being a nice fellow or a nice family and that's what you are and leave your children open to devils and demons. Because now if that's what you're going to do, now you can save yourself and you can go to heaven yourself, but your children will go to hell. You understand that? If you don't stand the gap for your children, they'll probably all go to hell. And of course, it'll be your fault. Because you can rescue them if you knew how. You can rescue them if you know how. But I always remember this. The Lord told me one time, he said, son, teach people how to do things, because remember, you can't do something if you don't know how. He said, I'm calling you to teach my word. Now, Donnie's called to preach. He's a tent preacher right there. He can preach. Joanne's husband is a preacher. He's an evangelist. See, they go around the country preaching all the time. Preach like a house of fire. Well, God called me to teach. He said, I want you to teach my word. And I want you to teach how it works. And it's free for anybody, see. And you just have to be bold about it, that's all. And just boldly stand in the face of the devil and just tell him, I mean, when you're lonely and sad and your children don't come home for 2 or 3 weeks when they're single and you don't know where they're at, and you just have to walk the floor and just tell the devil, devil, you can't have my children. I'd walk the floor and I'd say, devil, you will never take my daughter to hell. I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind you in Jesus' name. And after your daughter's friends and you know about going through 5 funerals, burying 5 teenagers, if you have any sense at all, it'll make a believer after a while that the devil hates young people. And he's a murderer. See, the devil is a murderer. And he uses sin to murder young people. He uses sin. Sin. S-I-N. That's what he uses to kill you with. Sin will kill you. And the Lord told me I was the head of my house. Before I ever got that, when she was in high school, before she ever got on drugs, when she needed that healing, that miracle healing. Before I ever got that, when I was in heaven that day, the Lord told me, you're the head of your house. And I could see it. All the demons and devils on earth They have no, if I knew who I was in Christ Jesus and have authority in Jesus' name, no devils and demons have a right on my property. Now, they will come on my property if I don't run them off. But they don't have any rights on my property. They're invaders. When you're born again and your home belongs to God and you belong to God, anything that tries to visit your life that's not total victory is an invader. You don't have to put up with nothing. You don't have to put up with being broke. You don't have to put up with confusion. You don't have to put up with sin. You don't have to put up with nothing. You're a totally free human being in Christ Jesus. You can have the abundant life and enjoy it. Now, people, in the world, I was going to the First Baptist Church, and I was trying to find God, but I was an executive in the world, making about $5,000 a week. And when I walked to that meeting that night and got in my car in Columbus, Ohio, I owned a manufacturing company in Columbus, Ohio, but I lived in Indianapolis, Indiana, on West 10th Street, out beyond the 500 racetrack, just right on the other side of Speedway. And I lived there for 8 years. And the Spirit of God came on me in the car and stayed with me for an hour and a half. And I mean, He totally saturated me. He removed all the First Baptists out of me. He removed myself from me. He removed everything out of me. And He blessed me so much for an hour and a half openly. Now, you know, these 5 or 10 minute blessings we get in churches are awful, is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Now, you can imagine what you think like if God comes to you and totally wrings you out like a rag for an hour and a half. Wring you out like a rag. I'm not talking about some little small manifestation, you know. Well, I think I feel the presence of God. Honey, I don't think nothing. I was totally saturated in it all the time for an hour and a half. And when he left, it's called getting delivered from yourself. So the greatest deliverance you ever go through is when you get delivered from yourself. If you ever get delivered from yourself, God can do things with you. And it's like, you know, remember what Dave Robertson said this afternoon, which I thought was real cute. But it's the truth, though. You know that scripture where Jesus said, when you have mountains, He says, therefore, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. And then you pray, and that's standing in that scripture, and say, Lord, remove my mountain from me. And God picks you up and throws you in the sea. He said, you are your own mountain. You find yourself out in the middle of the sea trying to swim. What am I doing? What am I doing out here? Well, you sometimes you're your own worst enemy. Well, I was. Because I had a business mind. I was involved in, you know, pretty big money and business mind and all that kind of stuff, you know, and taking care of this and taking care of that. And I was involved in the First Baptist Church, and I was involved in my family, and I wanted my wife and my daughter and my little dog, and I wanted to go to the First Baptist Church on Sunday morning and wear my tailor-made suits and drive my Cadillac and have my pretty wife that looked like a doll get out of the car, and my little teeny blonde-headed girl that thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And my dog even loved me. It ran around my feet all the time. Everything I had loved me. See, I didn't want to be interfered with. I had everything like I wanted. I don't want to be interfered with. I just love to go to the First Baptist Church on Sunday morning with my sweet little precious family and leave my dog home. And I was anxious to get home so my dog would take a fit. I was so glad to see me running around, you know, running around in circles, up and down like this, down to the basement, back around like this, up and down like this. Just because you're home. Yes. That makes you want to go home 4 or 5 times a day to watch your dog run. I had everything fixed exactly like I wanted. everything I had paid for, my safety deposit box is full of money. On a rainy day, and I'd have nothing to do, go down and get your money out and look at it. Speedway Bank, I never will forget it. I'd go in there and get it out and look at it. And so what I had four Cadillacs and everything I had paid for. My wife had mink furs and 35 sweater sets and this and that and other stuff, you know. And I says, well, I can't buy no more clothes. We don't have no closets in the house. All full, you know. And my daughter on Christmas, you know, I couldn't believe it. It looked like a truck had come to the door and unloaded a truckload of stuff in the living room. And then you'd buy her all this expensive stuff, this over here, this over there, this over here, and she'd play us some $1.98 teddy bear. And that's all she'd play with. So you might as well forget. If you spend a lot of money for your children, buying them all these things, you might as well forget it. They won't even play with half of them. You got to be kidding. They don't even play with them. They pick up some little something that don't even mean nothing and wag that around all day. You can stop at Kmart for 30 minutes and get to buy your kid Christmas. That's all they're going to play with anyway. We think we want to do all these things, you know, and buy them whole kitchens and buy this over here and buy this over here and buy this over here. And they'll spot some little something that didn't cost you nothing, you know, and they want to play with that all the time. And I said, oh, dear God, drive you nuts trying to put all that stuff together. These instructions, I can't read these instructions. What do they mean by this? You're trying to put all these toys together, you know, all these everything, you know. So, oh, God, help me, Lord. You get it all put together, you know, and you work, rack your brain. Come on, honey, ride this. Oh, I don't want to. I want to play with this little horsey on the stick that cost you $3. You know. Oh, brother. Everything just like I wanted it. And then one night the Lord came. And delivered me from myself. Well, it could do a lot for me then because I didn't know anything. Always remember this. God can only use you when you got knowledge. God does not deal in ignorance. God is not ignorant. He does not deal in ignorance. And if you want to receive anything from heaven or anything from God on a permanent basis, you better get smart real quick. Because God deals in knowledge only. Now anybody can receive from ministries. God gives different people ministries. Sometimes I'll be teaching the Bible like this, and all of a sudden the healing power of God will come on me, and the Spirit of God will come on me and show me something He wants me to do. And I'll go out in a congregation and do it, or have a healing line, or whatever He tells me to do. And then when I see what He does, then he knows a person needs help. You see what I mean? But that's a ministry He gives you. In fact, He put His healing power in my hands about 20 years ago. But about 5 or 6 years ago, he gave me a new ministry with my hands. He said, son, I want to use your hands. Now, Thursday night and Friday night, right here in this room, you'll see Benny Hinn preach. And he has a... Benny used to come to hear me teach the Bible before he ever started preaching in Canada. Benny was raised over in Israel, over in Jerusalem. And he's a Jordanian. But he moved to Canada. I used to go to Canada and teach the Bible, and he'd come and hear me teach. He had never even started preaching. He was just a teenager. He'd come and sit there and listen to me preach. Him and his brother both. It's amazing what God's done for Benny. I spoke for him a couple of nights about 2 weeks ago, and he told me, he says, Brother Norval, I didn't know you was in town on Sunday morning. I went in on Saturday night, see. I was going to speak for him on Sunday night. He said, I had 6,000 people Sunday morning. He said, I wish I'd known you had been in town so you could have helped me. He said, I wanted them to hear. He had over 6,000 people go to his church on Sunday morning. And God uses many a strong the word of knowledge, especially concerning the works of hell trying to destroy your body, and healing and miracles, and plus other things. God uses him strong in the word of knowledge every service. But God uses me in the word of knowledge a little bit. But he don't use me strong that way. And always remember this, people. Let me help you. You evangelists and pastors and people, let me help you. Don't never envy another person's ministry. Because always remember, you're not somebody else. And you have to be, you better obey God what he wants you to do. See, God has a calling on everybody. And you find out from God what he wants you to do, and then just go ahead and do that. And it doesn't make a difference what it is. Always remember this, people. God don't have no big people and little people. If God moves upon you and gives you a public type ministry like this, it causes more, you have to have more responsibility. Amen. You have to have responsibility, you understand that? And I've watched God over the years, over the past 25 years, as my knowledge grows, he gives me more to do. Now, like night before last, in my daughter's room and her and Bobby's room upstairs, it was like a fog came in their room. And the light came into the room and just hovered over them for a long time. The little sparkles and flickers of the light was all through the room. And it's like a fog over the top of them, like the glory of the Lord. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, now what? See, because God will mold them. From what God's doing, I can see from what God's doing, see, he wants to mold my daughter. She's running the camera, see now. Her husband's doing something else. He's running the camera. He's in charge of my tape department. He quit his job, the TVA, to go to work for me to run my tape department. Well, he got so miserable where he was working. He had a good career with the TVA, making good money. And so he quit the job. Went to work for me, running the tape department. I didn't ask him to. He just, you know, he wanted to do anything he could do. He wanted to learn. And you have to learn, so he's learning. Why don't you put him in charge of this or charge of that or let him teach 2 hours every day? No, he's not there yet, see. He's not there yet. He's learning day by day, by day by day. No use in rushing somebody. Just let them learn day by day, day by day. And they'll know exactly when the time comes for them to do certain things. And they'll know it, and the Lord will know it, and you'll know it. Worst mistake you ever do, people, is get out in front of God. I'd rather be behind God is to be in front of him. Because in front of God, you don't get nothing. And if you're way behind God following him, at least you'll get some things because you'll do some things right. Get out in front of God, you don't do nothing right. All yours is stumbling, blabbering mess because you're doing your own thing and you're doing going your own way, see, trying to rush God up. Don't try to rush God, just relax. God wants people to relax. He wants the wisdom of God to be yours. He wants you to relax and enjoy yourself. Don't drive yourself crazy trying to work for God. And listen to me, especially all you evangelists. God hadn't called you to win the world. Do you understand that? God hadn't called you to win the world. So don't get that idea. God hadn't called you to win the world. God's called you to be an evangelist. Seek the Lord. Let the miracles of God, the healing power of God flow through you. God's called Donnie to have a tent. Called his wife too. She weighs about 100 pounds. She goes into town, get the permits. If need be, get 4, 5, 6, 7 men together, you know, and put up a tent. Glory to God forever. He told me, he said, she don't ever complain. He said, he drives one truck, she drives another one. Can you imagine a 100-pound woman driving a truck with a tent? Going into a town, getting all the permits. And of course, probably half the time you go into, they don't want to give it to you. Right, honey? And she just keeps on and on and on and on and on. She gets a permit. Because no town wants a tent to come in. Forget that. So you have to talk them into it. You just have to have driving, ruthless faith. Get the tent put up. Well, God wants them to enjoy themselves. And the tent meeting. Enjoy themselves. Bless God forever. Donnie likes to preach all the time. He's wanting another tent now so he can have two tents up at the same time so he don't have to miss so much preaching putting one up. He wants to preach all the time. I'd like to see him take his wife somewhere and stay 4 or 5 days and just relax.
That's what we're doing here.
That's what he's doing here. See, this is the second day and he's only preached once. He's come to relax, you know. If he preaches 4 or 5 times, I'll just relax, just relax. This is a good kind of meetings to come to, though. Oh, yeah, it's a good kind of meetings to come to. Bless God forever. You can see different kinds of ministries and get fed. I mean, you really need to go somewhere to get fed. Blessed be the name of Jesus forever. You know, the Lord's wonderful, isn't he? Bless God forever. He's absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. But I absolutely refuse to let my daughter just let her go to hell. Now, she tried to go to hell. I'm sure she didn't want to go to hell, but she tried to. But when I began to follow the Lord, and the Lord left my car that night, he delivered me from myself. And now look at me. He said, well, Norville, you don't have to do this stuff, you know. You can go to Hawaii and live for the rest of your life. Yeah, that's right. I really could. But that night in Indianapolis, Indiana, between Columbus and Indianapolis, Indiana, when the Lord left my car, he was flowing through my veins, brother.
Amen.
Flowing through my bones. And it's called, I didn't even know that people could get things like that from God. And it's called royalty living. That's what it's called. Royalty living. The royal presence of God flowing through your veins and flowing through your body to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Blessed be God forever. It's called royalty living. And I always remember this. It don't ever die. It gets better all the time. And I've still got it. Still got it. Never had it before. But I've still got it. See, as long as you still got it, you can just keep on going. Keep on going, keep on going. You don't get over the natural so far. You're trying to figure this out in your head. Trying to figure that out in your head. You see, you just walk with God and gain knowledge along the line and gain some knowledge here and gain some knowledge there. The only reason I can teach you how to keep your children out of hell is because I learned how to keep mine out of hell. I know what God told me when I was in heaven. Demons and devils don't have no right to operate on your property. They have no right to operate on your property. Devils and demons has no right to operate on your property. And he thought I was, he didn't use that word, but he thought I was stupid. How long are you going to put up with those growths in your daughter's body? And I told him I didn't have them. They wasn't on me, you know. He thought I was stupid. He said, you're the head of your house. Then he gave me instructions. Yeah, the Lord. I'm talking about the Lord. I'm not talking about somebody. gave me instructions what to do to get a miracle for my daughter. He told me, he said, if you will curse the roots of those growths, and if you will command them to die and disappear, and if you will believe and not doubt, they will disappear. To the three of us, sir. Everybody say three.
Three.
See, three is God's perfect number. There's three ifs, sir. There's if I do this, if I do this, if I do this, God can tell you exactly what will happen. If they keep on and on and on and on and on thanking God for a bus, on and on and on thanking God for a bus, just won't give up. Just forget about time. Just keep on thanking God for a bus. Just keep on thanking Him. Well, it'll come. That's all. Come. Get in the van, drive the van, act like you're driving a bus. Glory to God forever. You'll be driving one. And God knows exactly how to do it. See, I don't know how to do it. You don't know how to do it, but God knows exactly how to get them in the right place at the right time. Now, she was believing God for that van when she's done the Bible college in Cleveland, Tennessee. And see, God worked that all out. We should get it just like that. Brand new one, David. Gave her a commercial. And the guy, he probably wouldn't even say it. Was he saved? He thought he was saved, but he wasn't. I used to date Debbie Reynolds some. You know, the movie star Debbie Reynolds? And she thought she was saved. She told her son, she said, I really like Norval. She said, I really like him. Said, he's my type of man. Said, I like him. But said, he's sold out. She told her son, says, Tony, he's sold out. She says, Norval is so sold out. Well, I mean, but I just couldn't, you know, it's just one of them things. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't. I like her, though. She's a real sweet lady. Precious, sharp. Probably the most talented person. I would say she's probably the most talented person in Hollywood. Debbie Reynolds can do anything. I mean, you talk about talent. My God, you talk about talent, dear Lord. And the reason I like to, I laugh all the time. All the time. Zona likes to split her sides. Zona and me went to her house one time, had dinner with her one night. I thought Zona was going to pass out. She's the type of girl, she keeps you laughing all the time. I mean, laughing all the, if a guy's married to her, I don't know what he'd do. He'd just laugh all day. But she'd talk about, you know, well, you know, she'd, oh, yeah, I've got to stop, you know, I got to watch myself. I, you know, I just get too, you know. I got drunk weekend before last. Lasted about 3 days. Watched myself. And she sat and talked to her. She said, well, Norval, she said, I know about meetings. You know, I talked to her about the Lord. She'd say, I know about meetings, Norval. I was raised as a Methodist girl, and I used to go to them old, camp meetings. Sawdust and all. I know all about them camp meetings, the sawdust and all. I said, Debbie, I said, you know, if you really sold out to God, Debbie, I said, you know, you could really preach like a house of fire. She said, oh, I know I could. She said, oh, yeah, I could preach. My God, yeah, I could preach. I said, with your talent, you could preach, dear God in heaven, if you just sell out to the Lord. But see, some people think they're all right. They do anything they want to do, and they're all right. But you're not. See, the guy gave her the van. He thought he was saved, but she said he's not saved. He only thinks he is. Some people think, well, I got drunk last weekend, you know, but I'm saved. It's wonderful to be a Christian, isn't it? I said, oh, God, help me, Jesus. Some people are so dizzy, you know, they don't know, you know, they're dizzy. I worked some in Hollywood to help start a church in Hollywood, and dear God, them people, you know, you get them saved, and because they're all living together before they get saved, just about all of them, and all living together, you know, and when you get them saved, you know, they don't, I said, now then you can't go to bed with no more, you can't go to bed with each other no more. And they go, what? They just want to keep on living together because they love each other, you know. I said, well, get married. If you love each other, now get married, you're born again. But that's the kind of spirit you have. I hear of young couples moving to L.A. or Beverly Hills or Hollywood. I say, well, you better not move there unless you're going to pray in tongues about 2 or 3 hours a day before you ever go out. I say, there's crazy devils there, man. Certain kinds of devils takes the place over. So if you want to recognize what kind of devils will be harassing you and your family, look back at your grandfather, grandmother, daddy, mother in your family. The same kind of devils that harass them will harass you. As long as they can do damage. See, learn this about devils. As long as devils can do damage, they'll just stay right in that family. Go right on down. Do the same thing. If you ever hear a person say, well, my mother died with cancer, I guess I'll die with cancer too. I know you will. I guarantee you will. If you say, my mother died with cancer, I guess I'll die with cancer too. I guarantee you'll die with cancer. Oh yeah, you said that right. The devil put that on you so fast to make your head swim. Well, everybody in my family died with a heart attack, and so I guess, you know, the devil's, I guess I will too. I don't know. You know. Yeah, you sure will. Yeah, you better believe that. That same devil, and your children would be the same. They'll get what you got unless you teach them different. So you have to watch it real close, people, because the devil won't leave. You have to make the devil obey you. You have to make the devil leave. You have to absolutely make the devil leave. Blessed be God forever. So I learned from God. I learned from God himself with the devil. And the more I learn from God, the more I learn from him, he gives me more responsibilities to do all the time. Give me another kind of ministry, that type of thing. Well, that's all right. I don't mind. As long as I've got the knowledge to do it. Sends me people like David. David tried to get away last year, and God wouldn't let him. Well, I don't blame David. I try to run too sometimes. But you know, God sends you people that's faithful. You know, I have to have, with my field ministry, I have to have people I can trust and depend on, faithful, not flaky people, you know. Try to build something of their own and do this and doing that, you know, because I want his ministry to be blessed. Now, he has a good ministry in the drama team. And I want that ministry to be blessed. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Because it's a good ministry, boy. Really good ministry. David Woodrow here, this is the fellow, when he went to my Bible college, he's the one that the Holy Spirit dealt with, and he created the drama ministry. He's had like 4 or 5 teams on the road at one time, like, you know, 6, 7, 8 kids, usually about 8 kids in each team, putting on the drama ministry all the way across the country, all the time, full time. Well, you talk about winning souls. It's a tremendous. Well, you'll get to hear from them sometime this week. We'll turn them loose sometime this week. You'll love it too. How many people in here that one of the New Life drama teams has ever been to your church? Hold up your hand. Yeah, I see quite a few. Did your church enjoy them?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I follow behind them sometimes. I go to churches, you know, and where they've been, and I never have got one complaint on them. Never have received a complaint. They said, them's the nicest kids. Them's the sweetest kids and nicest kids. They never caused us one minute's trouble, Norval. I said, well, I can tell you right now why they didn't. I said, their leader. I said, the leader's David Woodrow. And I said, he don't put up with that kind of stuff. I said, if they caused you any trouble, I said, he would get them. Well, he would. You got to have those kind of rules. And so, three ifs now. Three ifs. You understand that? God said to me, if you will curse the roots of those growths, they will disappear. No, he said, excuse me. If you'll curse the roots of those growths, they will die. The growths will die if you'll curse the roots in my name. He said, in my name. Curse the roots of those growths. Glory be to God forevermore. You have to curse the roots. If it's some kind of a growth or that type of thing, that's trying to fasten itself in your flesh and trying to destroy you. Curse the growth of growth. Curse the roots of it in Jesus' name. That's right. Curse the roots of it in Jesus' name. And it'll just die and disappear. Curse the roots. And you have to believe and not doubt. So you have to believe and not doubt. Curse the roots of the thing. Thank you, Lord. All right. You just have to be bold about it sometimes, you know. God just wants you to be bold, because if you don't, because you got one, you know, you keep putting up with it all the time. Keep putting up with it all the time. Any of you have a growth on your body, right? If you have a growth on your body right now, come in here and stand. Just come up here close to me. Gather all around, close to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be the name of Jesus forever.
Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. You're my healer.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Sana bokor yote ki siriyoto
kalu makahai. Jesus, you're my healer. I called you my healer.
Bobby, you go ahead and run the camera and send Zona up here. Hara boko sayate ki riyoto kalu lakiyoto ko sayate ki bi siriyoto kalu makahai. Hara boko. Come around here, honey. Sora boko riyonte ki siriyoto kasa sakamaya.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Agree with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, now close your eyes and be very reverent before God in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bring these people before the throne of God right now. And the Bible says, if two or more agreeing, touching any one thing, asking, it shall be done. In Jesus' name, we agree right now together, and we curse the roots of every growth on every person in this altar, and I command that growth in Jesus' name to die. Die, I say it in Jesus' name. I curse you, roots. You must die. Die, and I command the thing to wither away and die and disappear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I command that thing to be remove itself from their body in Jesus' name. 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 That's right. Now then, I want every one of y'all to say that with me. I want you to say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come before the throne of God with boldness, and I claim what's rightfully mine. I believe there's all power. In Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name. I curse the roots. Of every growth. On my body. I command the roots of that growth. To die. And disappear. In Jesus' name. I want to thank you, Lord. For removing. All the growth. From my body. In Jesus' name. Thank God I'm free. From all growth. In Jesus' name. Thank God I'm free. No growth can stay on my body.
No growth can stay on my body.
You have to disappear.
You have to disappear.
The roots of you,
the roots of you
are dead.
Are dead.
You can't stay on.
They can't stay on.
I'm talking to you, growth.
I'm talking to you, growth.
Remove yourself.
Remove yourself
from my body.
From my body.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For removing all growth.
Removing all growth
from my body.
From my body.
I call my body free.
I call my body free
from all growth.
From all growth.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm so happy.
I'm so happy.
I think I'll shout. I think I'll shout. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now I called someone up here for one reason, to agree with me, and then I wanted to say something to you. Now, she told me something the other day. She says, Daddy, you know, when the Lord removed all those growths off of me and put new skin up on me, she was in her room and the Lord did it. She was coming from high school. Because when I came back from heaven that time, I went in the room where she's at and cursed the dumb things in Jesus' name right then. That night, when I began to come back in my body and my five senses began to come back into shape, you know, and I was normal, I walked in that room and cursed those roots of those dumb things in Jesus' name. And so, and I thank God for about 40 days. She came in from high school one day in her room, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God just, she didn't even, just looked around, and she was things all over her, 42 growths on her, and she looked around and all of them was gone. All of them was gone. She's hanging up clothes. She hung up a dress like this right here and reached back like down like this, and it was all gone, and new skin was all over her. Standing up there in her room. I guess she ran into the wall or something. I don't know how it felt, like a dresser turned over. A big noise back there, and I began to holler. I said, Zona, what's wrong back there? Zona, what was that noise? Did you hear anything? Hey, Zona! Zona, what was that noise I heard? Zona, you okay? She came tearing out of her room and running down the hallway like this, holding her hands out like this. She said, Daddy, this is spooky. This scares me. Daddy, this scares me. This is spooky. Daddy, this is spooky. This scares me. Can you imagine having something on you for 5 years? All of a sudden, one afternoon in your room, you're hanging up dresses, and you just turn around, look at yourself, and you're totally new. Totally new. Just totally new right then. With new skin all over you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And she told me the other day, she says, Daddy, you know when the Lord did that for me and gave me that miracle? She said, sometimes one will try to come back. She took her finger like this and showed me. She said, this is what I do. And told me what she said. I want you to tell them.
All I say is, now, Wart, you're hard of hearing. You're trying to come back. And you can't stay on my body. And I curse you at the roots in Jesus' name. And you're going to die and wither just like Jesus told the fig tree. Thank you, Lord, for removing the wart off my arm in Jesus' name. And no other warts can come on. No growths, gout, nothing.
Thank you, Jesus. Some of those growths on her had spewed up out of her body, broke open and bleeding, ugliest things you ever seen in your life. Her skin was even breaking open and bleeding.
Jesus.
And when the Lord came, when the Lord did it for her, all the growths disappeared, 42 of them. And where the skin was broke, I'm talking about broken, bleeding, new skin. Whoosh. Whoosh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Brand new skin, glory to God, on her legs, on her hands, on her arms.
Thank you, Jesus.
And her skin was just glowing like this. Looked like new baby's skin. I said, glory to God. Blessed be the name of Jesus.
Amen.
She's in high school. You know what she said to me? She stood up looking at herself. She says, Daddy, this is what she said. She says, Daddy, Daddy, I can understand Jesus doing something for you because you work for him all the time. But she said, you mean to tell me that Jesus loves little old high school girls? She says, Daddy, I don't do anything for Jesus to speak of. I go to high school. You mean to tell me that Jesus loves little old high school girls enough to give them new hands, new and new arms and new skin on you. She says, Daddy, this is what I wanted more than anything in the world. More than anything in the world, I wanted this. I think, Jesus, come and give it to me. She says, you mean to tell me that Jesus loved little high school girls enough to do this? I says, well, look at yourself and see if he does. The day it happened, the moment it happened, then I walked over to her like this. And I put my arms around her. And she put her head on my shoulder. And God is my witness. All of a sudden, we just thank the Lord. And the glory of the Lord flooded my house. I'm talking about flooded the room. Flooded my house, the glory of the Lord. I couldn't stand it, and she couldn't stand it. And we stood there together, and we wept and wept and we wept and we wept. Tears of joy. Wept and wept and wept. And the glory of Almighty God came down. And we stood and thanking the Lord and thanking God, thanking God and thanking God. Glory be to Jesus forevermore. And I'd been praying for 5 years. My nice full gospel healing prayer. And it didn't work.
That's right.
But when the Lord, but when I began to seek Jesus in the Bible, glory to God forevermore. All right. Come here, honey. Now, y'all just stand right there just for a minute. I want to show you the Jesus that I began to seek. The Bible said, those that seek God shall find God. This is the Jesus I begin to seek. This is in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, now listen closely, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now he sneaked out. This guy had to sneak out of the leper colony, roaming the hills, the Judean hills at midnight, the dead hours at nighttime, searching for him, hunting him down. I used to go fox hunting with dogs. They'd run foxes all night long. Over one mountain, back over another mountain, get two, three, or four dogs. Build a fire out, you know, and let them hear the run of the fox. Oh, you talk about beautiful music to your ears. Get three or four or five dogs running a fox over one mountain, coming back in the sound and all this stuff, you know. I mean, just hunting it down. I'm going to find Jesus the healer. And one day he found him. Let me read that verse again. This is what he did when he found him. And there came a leper to Jesus, to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And of course, Jesus looked at that poor mass, that poor, ugly looking mass of humanity, and said, and Jesus moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him. And saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, the Bible says, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now, I'm praying for God to remove gross off of her body, 42 gross, and I'm praying for 5 years it don't happen. You know, after you pray for years for something that's rightfully yours right now, and you don't get it, Do yourself a favor. You're on the wrong road. Why don't you shake yourself? Analyze your prayers. See what kind of prayer you're praying. It may be full of doubt or wondering. Get off of that road. Get over into another road. You say, well, I don't know what to do, Norval. I don't know what road to get on. Get on the second chapter of Mark road. Jesus, I'm going to seek this Jesus right here. I mean, first chapter of Mark. I'm going to seek this Jesus right here. This one right here. This one. I have a right. My daughter has a right to have that all that ugly stuff moved off of her and new skin put up on her. She has a right to have it. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm not such a hot Christian, maybe, but I'm born again. I have rights. And I'm gonna get what's rightfully mine. I'm going to get what's rightfully mine. And God says, those that seek God shall find God. So I figured that my faith wasn't working after 5 years. It just wasn't working. So I began to seek God for the truth. Recognize you're doing something wrong and start seeking God for the truth. So I sought God for this kind of Jesus for my daughter. This kind right here. No other kind. This kind. I sought him diligently. I sought him. You understand what I'm saying to you? I sought him. I sought him for hours. This kind of Jesus right here. To come to my house and remove the growths from my daughter's body. I sought him and he came.
Yes.
You might say to me, Norval, why don't Jesus come to my house and do that? Look at me. Look at me close now. That's a good question. Why don't he? He would like to. Why don't he? Do you think you might have some faith problems? Or maybe you are doing your own thing and you've got seeking problems. Maybe you're not paying the price to seek him out. This kind of Jesus right here. Maybe you're trying to get by on your own faith or because you belong to a full gospel church. But there's something bogging it down and you're not getting the manifestation from God. It's just not coming. I mean, the cancer is getting worse. Well, when it's cancer, lupus, or something like that, you better stop it because it'll kill you after a while. Sometimes a growth, you can put up with it for a long time. If it's a growth, start seeking this Jesus right here. Seek him. Seek him until you find him. The Bible says, if you diligently seek God, you shall find God. What kind of God? Listen to me, church. Listen to me. What kind of God should I seek? Just God in general? No. No, not God in general. I always remember this. God does not confirm general faith. He don't even approve of it. God only approves of specific faith. Why don't you get a piece of paper and write it down? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or however many you got. Any weak spots you got in your life or anything you're doing without that God has. If you don't have health, put that to the top. If your joy is not in abundance, put that down. Joy. If your peace is not too hot, put that down. I need more peace. I'm just a mess, Norval. I don't have wisdom. Well, put down wisdom. God said, he that lacketh wisdom, let him ask for it. He can have it. Now, the things you figure that you need in your life, that you're doing without, that something, the devil or conditions or something is robbing you of that. I don't have it, Norval. I don't have it. Well, why don't you get it? Jesus has it. It's all free for the church. It's all free for you if you're born again. Why don't you make a list of them and start seeking Jesus for that? Seek. You say, Norval, I'm up one day and down one day and up one day and down one day and I got a temper and I go, things aren't working. I don't have enough peace in my life and joy. I make myself live out of habit. It's not a joy for me to get up in the morning and cook my husband's breakfast. It's not a joy for me to get up in the morning and do what I'm supposed to do. It's not a joy. I just get up because I don't want to shoot myself. Well, you need the joy of God in you, surging through your bones. You need the joy of the Lord. You need to be a person that accepts responsibility, and you need to have joy with your responsibility. Joy, joy, joy. Why don't you seek Jesus, the joy maker? He makes joy, you know. He'll make it for you. Glory to God forever. He'll make joy and give it to you free. Search through your body so much, and you seek Him and seek Him and seek Him, and you diligently seek God for joy. And boy, one of these days He'll hit you with abundance of joy, and you'll get so joyful. Your family won't hardly even know you. I mean, you'll be so joyful, you'll take a fit. Well, listen to me closely. You ask for it. You seek God for it, and you're going to find it. I can tell you that. You're going to find it. But you have to seek Him for it. Things from heaven does not work automatically. God does not give you things automatically because He has everything. It don't come to you automatically. It will never come to you. It don't come to you automatically. It comes to you because you dig for it. You seek for it. You seek it out, and you believe God's word for it. You'd have anything you want. Those that diligently seek me, God said, they shall find me. You can have anything you want from God. Glory be to Jesus forevermore. Blessed be God forever. Now you understand? Seek Him, I said. Seek Him with all your might. For anything you want, get that straight. For anything you want. Now her and her husband is agreeing and zeroing in on a bus because they need one for the road. Or they want one for the road. And as long as they don't waver over here and waver over here and waver over here, they'll get it. Keep that out in front of you all the time until it comes. With thanksgiving, and keep a spirit of joy with it. A spirit of joy. A spirit of joy. Keep it. Blessed be God forevermore. You understand that?
Amen.
Do you think that Jesus would come to my house and do that for my child and not come to your house? No. You know the only reason that Jesus came to my house and did that for my daughter, the only reason He did that is because I sought Him diligently. I mean, I sought Him. I sought Him. I mean, I sought Him diligently. Brother Hagin said he knew how to get it, but I didn't know how. But I want to get it myself. And you know what God told me? What the Lord told me in heaven? I thought it was real nice. Yeah. That anything he'd do for Kenneth Hagin, he'd do for me. And Brother Hagin knows how to get it too. I guarantee he knows how. I thought I did too, but it wasn't coming. And I was praying about it. Instead of zeroing in on it. You understand? Now then, you believe you've received? Let's thank the Lord for it.
Thank you, Lord, that I have received. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God for victory.
Thank you for victory.
I'm free. Thank God for victory in Jesus' name. Thank God for victory in Jesus' name. Thank God for victory in Jesus' name. Thank God for victory in Jesus' name.
Thank you for that grace, Lord.
Thank God for victory in Jesus' name. All right, let's just do one more thing before I turn it back to David. Let's do one more thing. Now, she reminded me that she started thanking God for that bus again. Think about something that you want. Start zeroing in now with thanksgiving. See, God honors thanksgiving. In fact, you want to know the truth? God loves thanksgiving. God loves to hear thanksgiving and appreciation come out of your mouth. Just don't make it out a whole long list right now. Just think about one thing right now that you want. If you have a child that's lost, that ought to be first.
Right.
You know? And anything you want.
Thank you.
Right now, out loud, turn your face toward heaven and start thanking God for it.
Thank you.